For the past several weeks, we've been talking about love. Sermon's entitled, What is True Love? We've talked about the attributes of love, what love is and what love is not, what love does and what love does not do. And quite a bit about love we found in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the Bible, the book we consider as the love chapter of the Bible. And so this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the most important time, I guess we could say, the time of the year that we're reminded of the greatest demonstration of God's love. The greatest demonstration of love, period, is when God was willing to allow His only begotten Son to die to pay for our sins. It's a time that, as Romans 5:8 reminds us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a great demonstration of love. As we approach the time when we celebrate the celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Easter, which is just a few weeks away, when we celebrate the celebration, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're reminded that before He was resurrected, He was crucified. He willingly gave His life. He was abused. He was falsely accused. He went through trials, mock trials, and all sorts of things. Was beaten beyond recognition. They spat in His face and would eventually hang Him on a cross where He would die to pay for our sins. He gave His life to pay for the sins of mankind, your sins and my sins. And so we see in the Bible where Jesus was continually reminding the people that He was going to do this, that there was coming a time that He was going to die, but that 3 days later He would be raised from the dead. And of course we know that a lot of people didn't really believe it. They couldn't understand it. It was beyond their comprehension. And, you know, when something's beyond our comprehension, we have a hard time believing it, right? Somebody tells us something to happen, and we think, oh, no, that's impossible. That couldn't happen. You know, He's lying. You know, but God can do the impossible. Okay, so when God's involved, we know that nothing is impossible with Him. And so, as we look at some of the things before the trials and the crucifixion and all, and what Jesus was trying to warn people of, and He was trying to tell them, and reminds all of us that that He's coming back again. In John chapter 14, verses 1-6, Jesus said, He's talking to His disciples at the time, His closest followers. This was just prior to His going to the cross to be crucified. And He said to the disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. He said, in My Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And the way you know, and Thomas, Doubting Thomas we call him, could have been Doubting Mike or whatever name you want to put there, because we've all been doubters at one time or another. And he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. So here, In that particular account, as in many other accounts, He told us that He's coming back to get us again. He is going to return to get us. And so, and He was telling this even before He went to the cross. And so, As the last day of the fast was approaching for his betrayal, his arrest, his crucifixion, and he's trying to encourage people to be faithful and to be ready so that they could be blessed here and now, as well as to be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. You know, Jesus wants to bless you now. He said, I've come so you can have life and have it more abundantly. That's here and now, as well as in eternity. And so he wants to bless us. He wants to see us blessed as his children. And so this morning in Matthew 25, I want to look there. It begins with the parable of 10 virgins. A parable that encourages us to always be ready. To be ready for what? To be ready for the time when he will come back to take his church away, to be with him for eternity. And this is a parable that reminds us that we should always be ready for whatever comes our way, whatever obstacles we might face in life, not just Jesus' return. So if we're ready, if we have our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we're in right relationship with him, if we have confessed our sins, we have trusted him to be our Savior and allowed him to become Lord of our life, and we are living in right relationship with him, not just because we got our baptismal certificate or because our name's on the church roll, then we're ready and we're going to go to heaven one day. No, that's not what it is. That don't get us there. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and only that gets us to heaven. It's only that gets us the blessings of life that he wants to pour out upon us here and now, so that we can be blessed of him when we're obedient to him, when we do those things. And we're not just obedient because the Bible tells us we have to be. If that's the reason that we're being obedient, then we're missing the whole point. You know, we are obedient because of that thing called love that we've been talking about for several weeks, because we love him, and we love him enough that we don't want to break his heart. We don't want to make him dissatisfied with us or unhappy with us. We want him to be happy with the way we live our lives, if we really love him. You know, we, as married couples, we don't do things for one another just because we have to do them, just because our marriage counselor told us that we have to do these certain things or whatever. It's because there's a love relationship there that loves one another. And we don't do things for one another because we have to, because that's part of being married. We do things for one another because we love one another. And that's the reason we've committed ourselves to one another. Well, Jesus has committed to you to be faithful to you in everything, in every place that he has promised to be. And if you have made that commitment to him, then you need to be faithful to him. And so here, as we look into the chapter 25 in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is he's going through some parables and talking to people. This is before he was crucified and before he was arrested. This immediately before he was arrested, and he was trying to prepare people and get people ready and tell people to be ready, encouraging people to be ready. And I'm encouraging you to be ready. We're talking about getting ready. Getting ready for whatever might come our way. Not just for the time that Jesus comes back, but to be ready for every obstacle, every problem that might come our way. If we are in right relationship with Jesus Christ, that will help us tremendously to get through those difficult situations. Because if we're living in right relationship with Him, He's gonna help us. He'll help us get through those things. He don't remove every obstacle away from us. He don't remove every obstacle in the path to keep us from ever, you know, coming up on something that we might stumble on. But He'll help us over those obstacles. He'll help us around those. He will give us discernment sometimes to go around or to go over or whatever. But we've got to be in right relationship with Him. He don't just throw us out there and leave us. He's with us. He promised us that He'd be with us. He'd never leave us nor forsake us, even to the end of the world. And so we have a companion when we have trusted Jesus as our Savior and allowed Him to become Lord of our lives. We have a companion that is always, always with us. We're never alone. We may feel alone a lot of times, but if we've trusted Jesus to be our Savior and allowed Him to become Lord of our life, we'll never be alone. But we're always have Him with us. And so, as we begin to look in chapter 25, and there are a few different things that he starts off with, the parable of 10 virgins, and then he talks about talents. You know, we've been given, God has blessed us with talents, things, the abilities to do things, and he gives a parable about that, and then he talks about the sheep and the goats and how they'll be separated. So we begin with the 10 virgins there in the first of chapter 25 and the first 13 verses. He talks about the 10 virgins, 10 that were waiting for His coming, waiting for the bridegroom. And Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. If you're a member of the body of Christ, if you've trusted Jesus to be your Savior and allowed Him to become Lord of your life, then you are a part of the bride of Christ. Okay? Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And so, here they're waiting for the bridegroom to show. In verse 1 there says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." Of the 10 people here we're looking at, 5 of them were wise. The 5 who were wise had their lamps. Not only did they have their lamps, they had oil to keep the lamps burning. They had that relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship, the Holy Spirit living within them that keeps that lamp burning. Now, do we make mistakes? Yes, they made mistakes. As a matter of fact, he tells us there in that parable that they all slumbered and slept. There was times when they just dozed off to sleep. We all have those times when we get tired or when we just kind of get lax and we let Satan influence us and to not doing the things that we need to be doing, and we just kind of like fall asleep and we're not being effective. We're not doing the things that we need to be doing to let our light really shine. We're allowing Satan to discourage us and distract us, and our light's getting kind of dull and dim. You know, we're not being a part of God's work like we need to be a part of God's work. And so people are not seeing a bright light because, you know, our life is not really exemplifying Christ, because we're not really involved in the things that He has called us to be involved in. We're not doing the things that He wants us to be doing. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that we should let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we know that we're not saved by works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse number 10 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or to do good works. And so we're not saved because of our good works, but because we are saved, we will be doing good works. We'll be doing good things, good deeds. We'll be doing things that honor and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If in fact we are saved, if we are His children, if we're His disciples, if we have a relationship with Him, we're going to be doing those things that we should be doing. And so, a lot of times we allow Satan to distract us and discourage us, and we're not doing the things we ought to be doing, and our light's getting dim because people that are watching us are not seeing that bright light that's shining for Jesus Christ, because they can't see Jesus Christ living through us. You know, to be a Christian means to be like Christ, Christ-like. That's what Christian means, is Christ-like. And so if we're genuine Christians, we're going to be doing things like Christ did. We're going to be doing the things that Christ did. We're going to be loving people. We're going to be serving people. We're going to be seeing the needs of people. We're going to have compassion on people that are hurting. They're hurting. We're going to love them and encourage them and try to help them. That's what Jesus did. And so if we're going to be like Christ, those are the things we're going to be doing. So when we're not doing those things, our light's not real bright, is it? So people don't see that bright light. And so we see here that these five virgins, five of them were wise and five were foolish, but they all slumbered and slept, the Bible says. And then the announcement came that the bridegroom is coming. And so those five wise who had oil, they had that relationship with Jesus Christ. They trimmed the lamps. They trimmed those wicks. Anybody that's ever had any dealings with an oil lamp knows that time to time you need to trim that wick off a little bit. That smut builds up and it gets to where it's not burning brightly like it should. That's what happens when we let the smut of sin get in our life and starts dimming our light, so we're not shining as bright as we should be shining. Our light is not as bright. We're not reflecting Jesus Christ like we need to be reflecting Him, and we need to trim those wicks. We need to trim the lamp, trim that smut, that old mess off of there, get rid of those things. How do we do that? We confess those sins. We repent of those sins. And 1 John 1:9 says if we repent of our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the five wise virgins got up, trimmed their lamps. They trimmed all that mess off, okay, so their lights would shine brightly and so that people would be able to see Christ in them, so that others would be able to see their good works and glorify their Father, which is in heaven. They confessed their faults. They repented of their lack of faithfulness that hindered their lamps from burning bright. And they had oil, so they had a person, because they had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as they were reminded that the bridegroom is coming. I want you to know that He's coming. He is coming. That's His promise. And so we need to be ready so that when He does come, we will be ready, and we will not be found like the foolish virgins that we'll talk about in a moment. But we will be ready with our lamps burning brightly, and we'll be ready when He comes to call us home. In Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 35, Jesus is speaking again here. He says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and you yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are these servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be thou ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when we think not. If the homeowner had known when his house was going to be broken into, he'd have been ready for him, and he would have prevented it. Jesus said, we need to be ready because he's coming back to get us. And we need to be ready when that time comes. We don't need to be caught off guard. We need to be ready for him. We need to be busy doing his work when he comes, and so that we can go to be with him, to spend eternity with him in heaven. And so we see the five wise virgins who had oil for their lamps. They, although they slumbered and slept some, they had made some mistakes, but they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they trimmed the lamps. They repented of those evils that they had been guilty of, and were ready when Jesus came. And then there were five foolish that they had heard about Jesus, probably knew what needed to be done. You know, we got so many today that they've heard about Jesus. They know who Jesus is, but they're waiting for a better time to commit their life to him. They're waiting for sometime later. You know, they want to do their own thing for a while, and one day, when it's convenient, when they make up their mind that they're ready, then they think, well, I'll trust Jesus then. They know what they need to do. They just don't want to do it right now. You know, the world's full of them. The world is full of them. We don't want to give up control of our lives. We want to do those things that we think are fun, that satisfy the flesh, you know. We don't want to give up control of our life and let Christ have control of our life. We're going to do that. We want to do that, but we want to do it on our terms, in our time, and not in God's time. When God calls, that's the time, that's the day that you need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit is nudging you and when he's convicting you of sin, that's the time that you need to say, Lord, here am I. I surrender. I'm sorry for everything that I've done. All the sin I've committed, God, I'm sorry. I repent of that. And I want to allow you to have control of my life from this day forward. That's the time to do it. But so many times we wait, you know, like these five foolish ones. I'm sure they had heard. Obviously they had heard, because they were there. They had heard what was happening. They had heard that Jesus was coming again. They'd heard about Jesus and the fact that he was going to give his life and all that. But many people have heard today about Jesus, you know, and they know what they need to do. Many of them know Scripture very well. Many can quote a lot of Scripture. They usually quote those that fit their lifestyle, you know, and make it okay to do the things that they want to do. You can talk to an alcoholic, and a lot of the alcoholics can give you every verse in the Scripture that talks about drinking, you know. Well, the first miracle Jesus ever did was turning water into wine. You know, if it wasn't all right to drink it, that wouldn't have been the first miracle he performed. You know, and the Bible says drink a little wine for your health. I heard, had several of these quoted to me this week. You know, they know those verses that, that have to do with alcohol. But they use them to try to justify not doing the things that they know they need to be doing. And that's what we do so many times. We'll, you know, a lot of people know a lot of scripture, but they try to twist it and use it to justify what they're doing. If you want to know all the scriptures about love, talk to some of the LGBTQ group, you know. They'll tell you all about how, oh, we're, you know, it's all about love. We're supposed to be loving one another. Yes, we are supposed to love one another. But there's a proper way of doing that, you know. And when you're doing things that are, according to the Bible, an abomination to God, then that's not a very good demonstration of love to God, is it? Okay? So, you know, don't try to take scripture out of context to justify what you want to do when what you want to do is contrary to what God's called you to do, you know. But these five foolish, they knew. They knew a lot about what was supposed to be done, what they were supposed to be doing, what they needed to do, but they were waiting for a better time to do it. Okay? But the problem was they waited too long. And that's the problem with many, many, many people today. They've got good plans. They're planning on surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ one day. But then something happens, you know, strokes, heart attacks, automobile accidents, and many other things, and they're taken out without notice. And they don't have a chance to fulfill their plan of surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that they had really good plans of doing one day down the road after they did a lot of things that they wanted to do to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so these were foolish. They were not ready. So they were going through the motions, trying to do the good deeds that would get them to heaven. You know, going to church maybe. Maybe putting on a little money in the offering plate time to time. Or maybe they watched their language, didn't use foul language, and tried to stay away from a lot of bad habits and all that. But they never really accepted Jesus as their Lord and let Him become Savior of their lives. And so they were not ready. They didn't have oil in their lamps. And so when the announcement came that the bridegroom's coming, then they weren't ready. They tried to borrow from those who were ready. Many people today are trying to borrow from someone else. They're trying to borrow from mama's relationship or grandma's relationship or what somebody else did. They're depending on mama's relationship or grandma's relationship to get them to heaven. Nobody else can make that choice for you. That is a choice that we all make individually. You know, if I could make that choice for everyone, it would have already been made. I would have already made that choice for everyone, not just people here, but everywhere. I'd have made that choice to choose Jesus, repent of the sins, and accept Him as Savior. But I can't do that. Neither could these five virgins make that choice for those that were not ready. They were not ready. And when the time came, it was too late. It's kind of like the old hide-and-seek game, you know, we used to play. When you'd, somebody'd be it, you know. You'd be counting. You remember how you'd make sure you hide your eyes like that, you know. And then you count to 100. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 81, 82, 93, 97, 98, 99, 100. Ready or not, here I come. And that's about the way it'd be done. Let me tell you, it ain't no joke and it ain't no game. Ready or not, He's coming. He's coming. And when He comes, it's too late to get ready. You know, if you're not ready, it's too late. There's no time then to get ready. When He comes, when He calls, the decision has been made. You have either accepted Him or you have rejected Him, and you've chosen to do it your way. His way includes the blessings of life, to be blessed here while we're here, to receive the blessings. And He has promised over and over and over how He wants to bless us if we will simply do what He asks us to do. And we continue to ignore those things. So many of us do. And then He's promised that if we'll trust Him, not only will He bless us here, but He's going to take us to be with Him for eternity, to spend eternity with Him in heaven. And so many have said, not now. You know, not now. And then when the time comes, it's going to be too late. And so they're going to be knocking on the door like these five foolish virgins were. And He's going to say to them, like He did those five foolish ones, sorry, I never knew you. Not only do I not know you now, I've never known you. You've never trusted me to be Savior and allowed me to be Lord of your life. There's a song we used to sing, and that was the title, Sorry, I Never Knew You. What a sad, sad song. And the sad, sad truth for so many people, because so many people are going to hear that one day. Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And they're going to be cast into an eternity to be spent in hell, where there will be nothing but torment for eternity. And eternity is a long, long time. Nobody wants to spend eternity in hell, but the majority of the people are making their plans to do that. I trust you're not one of those. Are you one of the wise ones today? Are you one of the foolish ones? The good news is, as I write this second, He's not come yet, so there's time right now. 5 minutes from now may be too late, because He could come at any second. But right now, it's not too late. You can surrender. Say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. And I know that Jesus loves me enough that He was willing to give His life. He paid my sin debt. Forgive me of my sins. And come live in my heart. Take control of my life right now. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll make a new person out of you. Okay? But you got to repent and accept Him. He's not going to force Himself on you. So if you've never done that, I beg and plead with you to do that today. Don't leave here unprepared. Don't leave here if you're not ready to meet Jesus, because you may meet Him today. And it may be too late to go with Him. You may be one of those that just falls on your face and confesses that He is Lord, but it's too late because you didn't do that on this side of eternity. Don't be caught without Jesus. Father, I love You and thank You. Thank You for the opportunity just to know Your Word, Lord, to know You, Lord, to know Your love, the way You love us. And God, I pray for every person that's under the sound of my voice right now. God, if there's one here that is not ready, if there's one here that if they died sitting where they are right now, they would spend eternity separated from you. I pray that right now, as the Holy Spirit deals with their heart, that they will surrender, Lord, that they will realize their desperate need for salvation. That they'll repent of their sins, that they'll trust Jesus to be Savior right now, right here, today, so that they can begin to enjoy the benefits, the blessings of life, and look forward to spending eternity with you in heaven, that they will not hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you," but rather they will hear the words, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." Lord, have your will in your way, we pray right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. The music's playing. You, and only you, and God, knows your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know if, in fact, you've ever genuinely repented your sins and invited Him to take control of your life. You know that if you died right now, where you're going to spend eternity. No one wants to spend eternity separated from God. So if you're in that boat, if you're not prepared, I beg and plead with you right now, please don't leave that way. It's simple to trust Jesus as your Savior. I'm not going to tell you it's an easy life after that, but the simple thing of salvation is simple. Confessing your sins and confessing Him as your Savior, asking Him to forgive you and take control of your life. Never did that. Will you do it right now? Just slip out from where you are and come forward. I'll pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll certainly pray with you. I'll certainly share Scripture with you. I'll do anything I can to help you. I can't make the choice for you. It's your choice. Anyone, before we close, this could be the last opportunity you ever have to trust Jesus. Don't let that opportunity pass. Anyone, quickly, before we close. There may be other decisions. Maybe you have trusted Jesus, but you've been slumbering and sleeping, and you're not living that life that you know you need to be living. You need to recommit your life to Him to do that. Maybe you're here and He's called you to be a part of this church, and you need to join the church. Whatever the need, God's here to meet needs.